All right, so those of you who recognize that little intro know what that means. It's time again for another one of our little chats. And boy, has it been a while since I've done one of these. Let me immediately apologize to everyone out there who's been following me and listening to these podcasts for the extremely delayed interim between my last one and this one. It's probably been 2 months, and I'm really sorry for that. I've had some personal and medical issues I've had to take care of, and so it's been other things are pressing, and I just haven't had a chance to get to this. And then, of course, my computer died, so that always puts a cramp into the bailiwick. So I'm going to be doing a series of these pretty quickly, one after the other, so that folks can realize I'm not totally dead and these aren't going away. I've just taken a very long hiatus. So again, my apologies for that. I hope everyone's having a great holiday season since this is being done over the holidays. And hopefully those of you who didn't get a chance to listen to my holiday podcast that I did last year about what to do with various issues related to the holidays in terms of depression and family get-togethers, we'll go back and take a listen to those podcasts. I think those could be potentially very helpful to you. Today I'm going to be talking about something of some time urgency, and I think something that's going to impact pretty much everybody on the planet is the new so-called Obamacare. I won't tell you what I call it because it's a lot less flattering, but be that as it may, whether you like it or don't like it, the reality is there are some things that folks out there need to know before they go out and blithely sign up for this thing, thinking that they're going to get taken care of, or not knowing what they're signing up for, or not knowing anything about it. And the reason I'm bringing this up on a podcast has to do with emotional issues and mental health issues, because obviously insurance deals with mental health as well. And as most of you who've experienced already that have tried to get mental health and have insurance pay for it, you already know that it's pretty daggum limiting. And I'm not so sure that that's not going to change dramatically with this new plan that's going into effect in January of 2014. But you also, those of you who want to be more proactive and pick a plan and have this thing explained to you in no uncertain terms, because if you're like me, you're pretty much an insurance moron. And I can tell you that that definitely qualifies for me and most of the folks I know. But thankfully, I know folks who aren't insurance morons, and I rely on them to give me the skinny on what's going on. So what I'm going to be doing today is actually bringing one of those folks on board and doing an interview with that person on the podcast. Because this person is extremely knowledgeable about insurance matters and has been doing so for a very, very, very long time and very successfully, having a really good satisfaction rate and a very high professional rating amongst his peers and amongst folks who rank businesses in this regard. And I'm going to let him tell you all about that when he comes on in a few minutes. But suffice to say that it's better for me to bring an expert in the field in to talk to you folks about this and give you the options and what's going on. So I'm really thankful that he's taken the time out of his schedule to come here and do this, because this is a huge imposition on him. But he's been kind enough to do it, and he cares enough about the public that they get the right health care package that matches their needs. And one of the things you'll probably hear him talk about is to make sure and talk to your representative that you have, your insurance broker, insurance representative, because they're going to be a lot more helpful and probably a lot easier to understand than going to the site to put in all your information blithely, which of course is going to trigger all kinds of other things like, oh, I don't know, the IRS getting hold of your data and people in the government getting hold of your personal data, which if you're kind of like me and don't have any use for the government and too many people getting your data that ought to probably not have your data, or at the very least you don't want them to have your data, you want to be extremely careful about doing that sort of thing, because this can lead to all kinds of negative consequences. Ergo, my opening tune today, which most of you recognized, is a famous section from a very, very, very well-known AC/DC song. Unlike AC/DC, I was not playing that with an SG Les Paul, as Angus Young typically uses, but with a Telecaster. So my apologies to Mr. Young for that. But I didn't have one handy here at the office where I'm doing this podcast from. But I did use a Marshall, so hey, come on, you know, I'm halfway there, right? Sort of the quintessential voice of hard rock and heavy metal for many, many years, both AC/DC and Marshall, obviously. So I wanted to do that today because I think if you don't manage this insurance crisis thing that's falling us, you're going to be on a highway to hell, potentially, with your mental health and your physical health. So what decisions you make between now and the end of this month, December, are going to have huge impacts on your accessibility to services and how much you pay and don't pay and what your insurance rates are and all kinds of stuff. And there are just a myriad of options out there and a plethora of problems that can accrue if you do not make the right choice. And obviously, since I don't know what I'm doing either and rely on other people a whole lot smarter than I am in this regard to educate me, rather than me take copious notes and try to interpret my own somewhat illegible handwriting, and perhaps misquote someone or misunderstand someone and tell you guys the wrong things, which I don't want to happen. I want an expert in the field to come in and talk about what the ins and outs are of this new situation, what you should be looking for, what you should be looking out for, what you need to do, what you don't need to do. And according to my understanding, there's a very, 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 did I mention very, very small window in which to do this. So it is absolutely imperative that all of you act on this just as soon as you can grab your phone and call your nearest insurance agent person to help you through this. So what I wanted to do today was get this individual to give us some high points and some low points into what we need to be doing and not doing so that we can make intelligent choices that could literally impact a lot of our mental and medical health from here on out, given this new situation that's going into effect soon. And there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about it. And a lot of folks I've heard say, oh, I can't get on the website, and yada, 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 yada. Honestly, you don't want to get on the website. Again, if you're one of these people who just blithely likes to give information away and don't care who gets it and what they do with it, then be my guest. But my take on this is you need to be, in the words of one of my heroes, very, very careful. You're hunting the government. So you need to be very careful what you do or don't do with this information. And I would say that's true of any situation. You don't want to just give people out your tax ID numbers. You don't want to be giving out people your Social Security numbers. You don't want to be giving out people your credit card numbers or your home addresses, because let's face it, there's a lot of crazy people out there. So as I was saying, I've got an expert here with me today, actually, who just walked in the door, Mr. Don Sepulveda. And if you think that's hard to say, try anti-disestablishmentarianism or pusillanimous or floxynoxynilipilification, the longest word in the English language, meaning to denigrate or to put down. So if you floxynoxynilipilificate somebody, you slammed them. Okay, so there's your Reader's Digest bit for the day. So Mr. Sepulveda has been doing insurance longer than I've been doing just about anything else. So he is definitely the man, and he's going to guide you through all the ins and outs and what to do's and what not to do's in terms of this lovely thing we have called, that some people are referring to as, quote-unquote, Obamacare. I won't tell you what I call it because, as I said, it's probably too gross to repeat on air. So I'll just save all my comments for later. Most of you guys know me anyway, so you know I say things that is not politically correct to say and do things that are not politically correct to do, but ask me, do I give a shit? So here we are with Mr. S, and I'm just going to turn it over to him and let him introduce himself to you and hopefully give a little history. And at the end of this, what I'm going to do is ask Mr. Sepulveda to please give us all of his contact information, because some of you may just want to contact him directly in case you don't have somebody that you trust to talk to this about. And maybe he can give you some pointers about, if you don't have someone, if you're wanting to look for somebody in your area, you're in, Nome, Alaska, or you're in, BFE, Kansas, and you don't want to make a long distance phone call, what to look for in insurance agents who are knowledgeable about this to give you guidance so that you're not, floundering around like fish out of water, or like me trying to fix a car. And most of you know I have like zero mechanical skills. So without further ado or a don't, Yeah, I know. Well, if you guys know me by now, my jokes never get any better, okay? So just suck it up. And Mr. S is going to take the floor, so thank you for coming.
I think you're hilarious. I get you.
Thanks. Hey, your check's in the mail.
So. I really, I don't know where to start, but first and foremost, I thought anti-disestablishmentarianism was a longer word, but I've learned something tonight.
Floxy-noxy-nilly-pillification. Now, don't ask me where I found that out.
Does it beat supercalifragilism?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
I learned something. It was worth a trip.
Yeah, and the floxy-doxy means something, where supercalifragilistic means you watch too much TV. Right, you're doing it. You like musicals a little too much, right?
The fact that I remember it is amazing myself.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, one of the few musicals I ever enjoyed besides O Calcutta, which, yeah. There's a story about that, which I actually, it's worth telling the story because my listeners will love this. So I was tapped to take a group of high school kids to chaperone with a high school teacher, a group of special ed, sort of gifted kids who are theater kids to New York for a week long trip about, I don't know, 20 years ago or so. And so it was the special teacher, the gifted teacher, and me, because the other teacher got pregnant and couldn't go and delivered early. So she called me and said, "Hey, you want a free trip to New York? Bad news is you got a chaperone, you know, a bunch of high school kids." I'm like, let me think. Oh, my God, half of whom are musicians. We're going to New York. I'm going to take them to Manny's Music. I mean, oh, yeah. Oh no, not the Briar Patch. So they were required to go to a play and all the while in New York, and the parents signed a waiver, said, "Yeah, just take them to whatever play you think's appropriate," right? You know where this is going, right? And the kids were like, "Oh, I want to see any late musical, oh my God." And so I looked at the special ed teacher and I said, "You want to see if O Calcutta is still playing?" And she starts laughing. She goes, "Oh my God, that's a hoot." So she was looking up and there it is, right? So we get tickets to O Calcutta and we don't tell the kids anything about it, right? Now these are all 17 and 18 year old kids, so yeah. So we walk the kids into the theater and the play starts, and you know, about, you know, fifth of the way through the play, clothes start coming off. And you can see the kids' eyes getting big. And we're sitting back there trying not to laugh, right? So the intermission comes on. Everybody gets up to get stuff. And you see all the guys in the play are sitting cross-legged in the seats, right? And I go, "Hey, guys, don't you need to get up, go to the bathroom? Come on, what are you waiting for?" And they're giving me these dirty
looks.
Just
give us a minute.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was the funniest thing. I just love it. All right, I love it. Anyway, yeah, the other one I like is Hair.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. Gee, wonder why. And the funniest thing I thought, which I didn't even know, is that one of the popular versions of Hair that got played on the radio was done by the Cowsills. Hmm. You know, the American Family Dilly is done as a joke, and they played it and they liked it, and so they put it on the air and it made
about
it.
That.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw a little history about that. And I thought, well, that's cool. Anyway, enough of my stupid stories. So, Don, let us have it. Give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I know most of this is bad and ugly, but just tell it the way it is. Don't worry about it, and tell our listeners what they need to know and what they need to avoid and what they need to do and anything you think they need to know.
Well, it is difficult. I don't want to sound like I'm real partial one way or another, but by the same token, people do need to get the truth because they're not getting it out there. As you know, Doctor, first though, I want to tell you sincerely, I've been thinking about you all day long with this, and just the fact that you care enough about your patients and your friends and followers to do something like this to try to help them, to me, is why I guess I've always felt, you know, a real fondness for you and what you do, and
thanks.
I appreciate it. Again, apologize for my voice. We've been talking all day. We've been on the phone literally for months trying to move people from this, but
you also, I understand, just did or are in the process of filming a commercial that you're doing basically to educate, like a public information thing, to educate people, and some of which is coming out of your pocket.
That's exactly right. But
I mean, talk about giving a flip about people. That's like amazing. I mean, you just don't hear people doing that shit anymore.
You know, Stephen, it's really funny. It's hard to explain, but it's people like yourselves, people that are calling in right now, that we didn't even know were clients of ours, 20, 25 years. The reason I never met them was they were through agents, but the agents have quit. So
oh,
now
right, because you had all those hundreds of agents working there, right?
Yeah,
right,
we had 2,200 agents working in 26 states.
Holy moly!
And the vast majority, I mean, literally, and I wouldn't admit this to most people, although this is a little bit different.
I was going
to
say, you're admitting it to the world now.
But, I mean, there are months where we see 30 of them. out of 2,200.
Oh,
so
my Lord.
This has put so many people out of work that you never hear. But the thing about it, I do have to say, is this may sound corny to some people, but I know that it won't to you. This business has been such a blessing to me and my family and some of the people. I have folks that have been working with me for 25 years, 26 years. And it's almost like, you know, the saying that came up a few years ago, paying it forward.
Oh, right.
I just
feel
like it's the time. And you'll see why in a second, because it's hard to explain. But based on the way I grew up, I never thought that I would be able to have or create a life like we've been able to do, because the insurance industry, when you do it properly and you really take care of people the way I know you do in your business, it truly, I mean, it comes back to you in spades. The more you give, the more you get back. And so that's what we wanted to do here. And I just wanted to figure out a way to overcome the problem that we've run into. And I'm trying to summarize this, and it's very difficult. But over the last few months, we tried to get to Sean Hannity, Herman Cain, O'Reilly, and...
Now, these are all, for those of you who don't know, who don't live in the Atlanta area, these are all really big PR, commercially viable news people and national people who are supposed to be whistleblowers and public information people, and they basically blown you off?
Beyond that.
Talking
to Herman Cain the other day.
And who is that?
Herman Cain ran for president in the last election. He was running. He got shut off. And, he was out of the running. And to be honest with you, I liked him during the campaign. But the more I've heard of him, and the other day, we were about ready to share with him on the radio two solutions, simple solutions that anybody can use to overcome the problems with Obamacare. Do you know that after 2 hours of holding, he hung up on me? He cut our conversation off. I was livid.
You were holding on the phone for 2 hours, this guy cut you off?
Yeah. And then we finally got on, right? He starts talking, and when I started to share with him that we had solutions, he cut off my phone call. The listener that called after me actually told him, I wanted to hear the information. Do you have the information that your previous caller was about to give you?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so frustrating. Sean Hannity doesn't want it. These people don't want the solutions. We have learned.
Why not?
They want ratings. They want to keep the fight going. They're listeners. They want to keep it riled up.
Oh, screw that.
Listen, Stephen, I'm telling
you. That's like Don Henley's song, Dirty Laundry. You remember that?
You don't even know. I do, actually. I remember what you're talking about.
Right? It's like, you know, get it on the set. People love Dirty Laundry.
But see, here's the frustrating thing to me. Doctor, I'm saving thousands of people in my office, but I can't get to millions the way they do. We're working nights. We're sending out quotes and policies 11, 12 o'clock at night. We wake up at 4:35 in the morning. And this
oh,
is
my gosh.
No, this is true. You know my wife. Ask her what's going on right now. My daughters are in working. I've got a meeting tonight to talk to some agents about coming in and helping us, because this commercial is going out. Hundreds of thousands of people. We're sending out a letter to all of Cumming, Alpharetta, Forsyth, all these areas, right?
Is this going to be a TV commercial, a radio commercial? What are you doing?
The TV commercial, and then there's another one that's a mail piece.
Okay.
The mail piece is telling them about a free seminar that we're putting on. And I don't care whether they buy from us, whatever they do. I'll share with you the answers here.
Okay.
And this will make more sense, maybe.
So you're having both a seminar, a flyer being sent out, and a TV commercial you made today.
Correct.
All of which you're funding yourself.
Correct.
Okay, guys, I want you to hear what I just said. This guy's taking money out of his flipping pocket so that you people and people like me who are dumber than dog poop can get a handle on this thing and be proactive. That kind of crap doesn't happen in our society very much, so you guys need to take your hats off to Mr. S, because he's doing stuff that, and I don't say this to be funny, I don't say this because he's sitting here, because I think you guys know. I'm going to tell it like it is, guy, and if I think people are full of sheep dip, I just kind of say, what you're saying is kind of bad. Anyway, so that's awesome. That's so awesome.
I can't say I'm a total philanthropist, because I have a selfish motive here. I want to save as many people from getting on Obamacare as humanly possible, even before January. See, here's the thing. I think if I share with you and you see how simple this is, you'll understand where my frustration comes, that these people wouldn't spend 5 minutes an evening to get to the millions of listeners that they have on Fox News across the nation,
right,
to say, people, listen, you can get an extension. You can avoid the rate increases. You don't have to pay triple, and definitely don't go on the website.
Say that one more time for everybody to hear, because I want them to really hear that, because I've already sort of alluded to that, but I want it to come from you, because you know a lot more than I do.
I don't remember what I just said. What were we saying? Because I was just kind of winging it.
About... how much they have to pay and about they have to go on the website or not. Or
okay. We'll start there. It may not be in the same order because I'm just talking off the top of my head, okay?
Whatever.
But the bottom line is they keep talking about this website being salvaged. That's right. The worst possible thing that could happen to
us. Why? Tell us why.
Because anybody that goes on the website is, first of all, sending their information to an unsecured site.
Unsecured?
Unsecured. Totally proven. That's all over the news. That is not a secret to anybody. That's a fact. People are having identity theft happening left and right. Oh, they've proven that prisoners in prison are spending their days on their computers going into the website and stealing and selling people's
identification stuff?
Yes. And even the people that they're hiring to supposedly navigators, as they call them, right? To navigate people through this. Right. They don't have to have any background check or anything. They can be criminals. They've proven that they have people that have written bad checks. They have criminal histories. All of these things that are taking all of this valuable information. And that's who you're going to on the website.
Oh my
so what
Lord.
We're telling people, you don't have to, you're just not being told the truth. They're spending billions of our dollars to say, go to the website, which didn't work. They say it works a little better now. Still, it's unsecure, all of those things.
It's unsecure, it's not working.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's not even set up yet to pay the subsidies to the insurance companies. They don't have a way to verify the people that are getting insurance. This is such a disaster. But here's the point.
Well, so is Obamacare, but that's another story.
And it's all one and the same, right?
Yeah, I know.
So all I'm saying is, if people knew the truth, if you've got a good broker, and I'm not trying to drum up business for me.
Right.
I am just trying to say, if you have a broker you trust that knows what they're doing, that is the key.
Let me stop you 1 second and interrupt you. How do you know you have a broker that knows his or her stuff? Let's say that I don't have a broker, that I'm Joe or Jolene Schmo, and I have no clue what makes a good broker. How do I know that? Talking to them on the phone, looking at their ads, how do I know that?
You ask some really good questions. That's a long one, but let me say
that's
this.
Well, that's what she said. But that's... Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Dragon.
There's going to be people listening here that have no clue how to do that.
There's a couple, a couple easy ways.
Okay.
And I will brag a second. There's usually things that'll happen. Like, for example, our agency, I am so proud of this. 5 years in a row, we've been named best places to do business, top 10 elite professionals, most dependable. Trying to think of the different titles, but 5 years in a row, and you can see us in Forbes magazine for 5 years. Anybody that will go to that extreme to get those kind of ratings, how long have they been around? You don't want somebody brand new, and you don't want somebody that sells just Blue Cross Blue Shield, because they're going to sell you that every time, no matter whether it's good or not. You want somebody that has the ability to pick and choose and find out what's best for your scenario, because we have everybody in Georgia, because there's going to be times where you need Coventry, Aetna, Cigna, whoever,
right?
So you need somebody, if they have multiple contracts, you're going to know immediately that they're pretty serious about this. You can go on to your government insurance department website and find out who people are licensed with and check them out that way.
Okay.
I would also find somebody that's got years experience, because if they haven't been through the last minimum of 8 or 10 years, they don't really know what's going on right now.
Okay, why is that? Because things have changed so much?
Exactly. The evolving of the industry itself.
Got it.
And they had to understand the prior to understand the present, really and truly, Stephen.
I got it.
They just do.
It's like getting continuing education credits in a sense.
Right.
You're keeping current with what's going
on,
which is why people in my profession and other professions are required to do that every couple of years.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Now, I have one real easy answer right now. Said all that to kind of get to this point. There's a new kid in town. I had to go through a 10-hour test to qualify to be able to write insurance on exchange or off. And I shared that with you. I resented every minute of it. My stomach was, I hated every minute of that.
Now, this is a new training supposedly on the new insurance stuff?
Exactly.
So if your guy or gal hasn't done that, that's kind of a sign that maybe you want to go someplace else.
Very possibly, because they have basically said, I'm too lazy to go do that, or I don't want to go through that trouble to do that.
Right.
But if you don't do that, how can you do the best job for your clients? They may need to go on the exchange.
Yeah.
For example, if they need a subsidy, you have to go on exchange. You can't do it if you don't. You can't write a plan with a subsidy if you don't have the ability.
What is a subsidy?
Tax dollars that you're going to get from the government to help pay your premium if your income is low.
Okay, so it's some sort of an assistance.
That is correct.
Okay, got it.
That's huge. So you've answered your question really well. If your agent cared enough to go through the agony that we went through
right.
to get this, then you know they're pretty serious about doing it right for you. Find out, are they contracted on or off exchange? How many companies do you carry? If you're limited to one or two, might want to do something different.
Because they're going to obviously have, it's like going to a music store and you're saying you want to buy a guitar, and the guy goes, I got these great Fenders for you. Well, I was kind of looking at a Dan Electro, I was kind of looking at a Gibson, kind of like a Rickenbacker. Oh, we don't carry those.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right. But, and they're going to give you a million reasons why they only carry it's probably for one reason. They don't do enough volume to carry more than that.
Right.
And it's the same in the insurance business. If you don't write a lot of business, you can't carry many contracts because you can't support the premium levels. Okay.
Yeah, because most of the major music manufacturers require you keep a minimum stock in your in your live, ready to boogie, physical stock in your store or whatever. And if you don't, you can't get a contract. You can't sell their products. That's right. That means you have to do a shootload of business and or whatever.
Yeah. My tailor guy, he always complained. He was always so glad when I bought one. Right. He said because they had his quota so high.
Right. But anyway, what you guys also don't know is Don's a musician and signed artist as well. So he slices, dices, and juliennes. But that's another story. So.
and paying the price.
You're
but,
right.
But here's the thing, what it really comes down to, and this is the heart of what I want to share.
Okay.
And again, just I wish you guys could be here with us because I love the sincerity and I love Dr. Stevens' just whole persona. I'm glad to be here with you guys.
I'm just frightening.
I don't know what it is about you. You gotta love you. But here's the thing, guys. This is what I want to share. If you don't get anything else we've talked about this evening, you have to get this. And you're going to be amazed at how commonsensical and how simple what I'm going to tell you is, but nobody else will share this with you. All we needed, again, was somebody to put the word out to say, here's what you do. Find an agent. Don't waste your time trying to get on a website that is really dysfunctional. In so many ways, we don't even have time.
And doesn't all some of this data also potentially go to people like the IRS?
That's exactly where it goes. Before you even can get a quote anymore, you have to put your Social Security number, your income. You got to have your tax records. Just like these idiotic commercials they came up with around the Thanksgiving table, you want to bring your tax records and your Social Security and talk about health care. These people have lost their minds. They have lost their minds.
Oh my God.
This is what we're dealing with, guys.
So you're getting people calling in saying, hey, why can't I just do that? And you're like, oh, my Lord.
You don't want to do that. But that's what they're spending the money on is they're spending billions of our tax dollars to advertise for Obama to get you go on the website. Why would you do that? When you know where your information is going, you know that it's unsecured, here's all you have to do.
I don't think most people know it's unsecured. I didn't know that.
No. Oh, yeah, it's in the news big time. But I know you stay busy and you kind of avoid that
stuff. Well, and let's be honest, and, you know, my listeners have heard this before. You know, I avoid looking at the news, listening to the news, reading the news, because it's bad news most of the time. And the only thing I do is get uber pissed off and feel completely frustrated and helpless, which just yanks my anxiety and my anger factor, which we already know is like way over the top anyway. So I just don't want to piss myself off and stress myself out. So, ignorance is bliss. Although in this case, and ableist because I could stupidly go on a website and go, oh, well, hell, I'm supposed to do that. I'm just going to follow orders.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're doing it.
I'm sure. That's why I wanted
Steven,
you here.
No, see, and this is the thing. And this is what really gets me because what Steven's saying is true. So many people now, they finally find us or they'll hear one of our ads or they'll do something and they'll call us and they'll say, I didn't know that. Guys, I have to tell you, we had one gentleman I just talked to. We just wrote him a policy for about $700 a month. His premium on the website that he thought he had to go to was $1,760 per month. We were $1,000 cheaper than what he just bought. He said, I didn't know there was another way. And this, we're getting this daily.
I'm sure a lot of the people who are going to hear this are going to go, what? I'm going, what?
Well, here's what happens. Guys, again, you're going to think this is too simple, but it's just, you'll understand, and I believe that it will make sense to you. It is common sense. First, find the agent, because we've been able to get on the website from day one. Has anybody ever told you that? Don't think so. Agents have been able to get on the website while they keep telling people, well, just keep trying. Call it 3:30 a.m. in the morning, and you'll be able to get on, maybe. All the stuff that's going on is
just pitiful.
Why
would you want to do that with an unsecured website and all your stuff going to God knows who?
Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
That's what
Even
I'm saying.
Even I, as dumb as I am about this shit, I'm like, okay, that's a dumb idea.
That's what I'm saying. When an agent can do it for you, here's what happens. See, we have what's called agent portals. It takes us directly to the company site. You get the same plans at the same rate. It's by law, same rates on and off exchange. They can't make any difference. It's all regulated. So that's going to work. The agent gets on the website, finds you your information, and literally could sign you up in a matter of 20 minutes. All of this hoopla, guys, we've been doing this daily and every night for the last few months, and we are desperate to get this word out before December 31st, because come January 1st, it's over. It's too late.
What does that mean?
As starting January 1, we cannot any longer get the rates that we're giving people for 2013.
So what you're telling me is that if anybody who's listening to this podcast wants to be proactive, they need to get off their complacency and do this stuff like yesterday.
That's exactly right, because here's what happens. All you have to do is buy a 2013 plan right now.
A 2013 plan?
A plan that's still being sold during the 2013
year. Is that sort of your standard model, if you will, insurance plan, health insurance
plan? Yeah, but these are top of the line. These are unlimited doctor visits, unlimited wellness, unlimited hospitalization, stuff that they're trying to say these were poor plans. These are way better than anything .gov has. This is what makes me so angry, Stephen. Okay, we're talking about full-blown, top-of-the-line major med.
For cheaper than you can get it after January 1.
Probably half.
Half? That's supposed to be, we're making affordable health care.
Exactly.
So in other words, it's just like the guy with the used car dealer, essentially.
Beyond that. This goes so far beyond. So that's the first move.
Okay,
now, guys, check this out. Okay? Get a 2013 plan now. I'm telling you. Buy it from somebody. I'm telling you, we're writing rates right now half to a third of what the January 1 rates are. I'm doing it all day long.
Is that because of the no pre-existing condition, that
exactly.
kind of stuff? And so they've jacked everybody's plan up, regardless of whether you have a pre-existing condition or not.
Right.
So you're essentially paying for everybody else being sick. I don't mean to slam anybody, because some people have stuff they couldn't help. But be that as it may, for whatever reason, a healthy person is essentially paying the difference for a person who's not so healthy.
Correct. And for the people that are pregnant and all the other things that you have to buy now. We're writing a plan on a security company. Most of the guys are in their 20s and 30s.
Right.
Every one of those guys has to pay for maternity coverage in January.
Maternity coverage for a guy?
Yes, sir. It's mandatory. You have to have it. Mental nervous disorders are built into every plan now, whether you want it or not. The entire family has to have it. You have to cover the child's care, regardless of whether you have the children or not. This is all built in. These are all Obama mandates.
What?
So that's why the rates are going through the roof.
So you could be a single white male in your 20s to 30s, and you have to pay the same rate as if you were married with kids, and if you were somehow going to magically get impregnated by some test tube, whatever, and be the mystical guy on the... Ripley's Believe It or Not or whatever, right?
Now, the only thing I would back up, you don't have to pay the family rate. You just pay a whole lot more as a single male because of all this extra garbage that you don't have to have or you don't need.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's all the mandates that are creating that problem.
Got it.
So ultimately, so that's the first move. Now, some people, you know, they've really gotten this hammered in their head, you can keep your plan. You can, but at what rate? So here's the thing. Sorry, I'm trying to turn this phone off so that we don't get that again. So here's the thing about that. You can keep your plan, but Obama never said that the company has to keep your rate where it used to be, and the companies will not. So you're going to be getting rate increases unless you do one thing. Again, guys, you have to get this. Take the plan that you now have if you really like it and do what is called an early renewal, or make sure that your company moves your effective date to December, as late in December as you can. What that does for you is that buys you another year of 2013 rates. It's very simple, and nobody knows about it. It's called or you can get the company to rewrite your existing plan. That's called an internal exchange. You now have a fresh effective date of December with a 12-month rate guarantee that takes you all the way through next year without getting slammed with rate increases that everybody else is going to get.
Wow.
Simple stuff. Takes a step. You got to contact your company. You have to make a move, but it can save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. In the case of a family, we're saving people $600, $700 a month doing this. You're talking $7,000, $8,000 a year and more that we're saving families by making these two simple moves.
That's cigarette money.
For a lot of people, I guess.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, if your company says you can't do that, because there are some out there, we find some states that they're not letting people do either one of those moves now, they're saying it's too late, let me tell you how you play their game. Pay an annual. Take the time right now, borrow the money if you have to, because you're going to be getting 100% on your money. Pay them an annual right now, they can't do anything to change your rate on you because you paid up a year. very, very simple stuff that nobody knows.
Well, nobody knows they can do that. I mean, I wouldn't know that I could do that.
Nobody does.
I mean, I always, you know, renew my stuff when it comes due, and it's usually like the middle of the year or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I've been, as you know, I've been with, you know, an insurance company for a real long time, and so this is essentially not going to affect me adversely very much. But I wouldn't know that stuff. Which you just, I mean, I wouldn't know that I had the option to do that stuff. How would you know that if you're not dealing in the insurance business?
Because nobody wants to tell anybody. These steps, and we've dragged it out a little just because we're friends, but they could have put three simple steps out to millions of people across the country on one Fox News program, and I bet anything that it would have expanded, because once they saw the response on
people would have been tagging them, going, what everybody is this? Can you talk more about it? Please, what do you mean by this?
Right. Correct.
Well, and that's part of the reason I'm doing this podcast with you, because I want the word to get out to people. You know, I'm going to be probably posting this podcast when I get home to the website, and I'm going to be doing, you know, getting my marketing people to put blurbs out about information about the new insurance delays and what you need to do now in all caps. That's why I had you come over today and asked if you would do that, because, you know, I don't know enough about this to be knowledgeable, but I just know that people need information they're not getting.
Well, I hope that I didn't ramble too much.
Oh, absolutely not.
I hope that was at least somewhat clear.
Okay, so you want to get a good agent that's been in the field for a long time, that's been doing this, that has multiple insurance plan options and multiple company options.
No question about that. I didn't answer your question as far as our history. Did you need me to do that?
Talk a little bit about that.
Like I said, this has been a genuine blessing. There's no other way to put it, to myself and my family. I started in 1979 as just a personal producer. I answered a blind ad. They wouldn't tell us on the phone what it was because they know you wouldn't show up for the meeting. So I get
that's
there.
That's interesting.
And it really is. It had to happen this way for me, though, because any other way I probably wouldn't have done it. And so I answered this blind ad, and the guy that was there, we just hit it off. He treated me more like a father, I think, than he did as a boss. And we're still friends today. We ride motorcycles together.
Oh, that's cool.
He comes to my house. He goes to my shows. We go to his place.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's the neatest thing. So that was 34 and a half years ago. I started in 1979 in April as an
agent. Doing insurance stuff?
Doing insurance sales, right?
Wow.
Worked for him, learned how to do the marketing part of it, which he was a master at. Him and his brother, millionaires, multimillionaires in this business. And I knew that I wanted to fashion mine after him rather than the average agent out there trying to sell friends and neighbors and all that. So anyway, long story short, he wound up kind of pushing me out the door and made me take over an agency in Atlanta in 1982. We only had 5 agents at that time, and the agency was falling apart. So, and I don't want to drag this out. But
no, it's okay. I mean, you know, take as much time as you need.
I don't want to bore your folks.
I think they'll find this interesting.
But
go ahead.
It really was something. My first year, I was one of the top agents in the country, and I won my first trip to Monte Carlo. And
oh, that's
we,
funny.
In fact, I took my girlfriend with me at that time. She got us in big trouble because she got mad at me on the plane because I was talking to a stewardess. She locked herself in the bathroom and held up an entire 747 from taking off to go to Paris. Because she was mad at me. We had Marlo Thomas was on the plane, and her husband.
Oh, my Lord.
What was her husband's name? Phil Donahue.
Yeah, Phil Donahue.
They were steamed. But anyway, that's stop on us.
Go ahead.
Okay. But anyway.
That's funny.
I just throw that out to give you an idea. Some of the reasons I stayed in it, and I felt like there was a higher power involved, because my personality was never as a salesperson. To evolve to what this was, this business pulled some things out of me that I didn't even know that I had, because you had to.
So in a way, you sort of saw this, in hindsight, you're sort of seeing this as a, for lack of a better term, personal development project.
You really nailed it, Stephen. See, that's all I'm saying. To start from a blind dad, don't even know what it is. I was so insecure, I could barely talk to myself, you know. And to be out in people's homes and talking to them over the years, to the point where we literally had 2,200 agents. We were one of the top agencies in the country, writing more business than a lot of agencies that were bigger than ours because of our marketing programs.
Oh, right.
Training thousands of agents, hundreds of thousands of clients.
So this is how you ended up with so many agent people.
Just we grew and grew and grew. I kept hiring people. We spread out. We'd run our lead programs in other states, etc. But to get to the point where when you do look back, it isn't about money. It isn't about sales anymore.
Well, this not is, for you anyway.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, with a lot of people it is. I mean, a lot of people who do anything, whether it's music or psychology or motorcycle maintenance or banking or insurance or, you know, coaching tennis teams or whatever, for a lot of folks, it's about the money. I mean, you see artists selling out all the time, going commercial all the time, doing things they would never want to do because it brings more money in, and losing their soul, in my personal opinion, in the process. Exactly. And you as an artist know that yourself. You know, that's one commonality you and I have, except you're a lot more successful at it than I am. But
well, I don't know about that.
But you know, in terms of you know, people sell out all the time for the, you know, the almighty dollar, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that you don't, and that you still do what you do and you're successful at it, I think is a real testament. It's like, you know, I tell people all the time, I get paid really well with the job that I do, but I really love what I do because what I do is so damn hard that it wouldn't, the money alone would not be sufficient to keep me doing the kind of work that I do, particularly with some of the clientele that I see that have just multiple sight disorders that are just a handful, that I'm doing house calls in the middle of the night, you know, on, and phone calls, and, you know, doing court appearances and all this kind of crazy crap. But I love what I do. So it's never like, oh my God, you're working on Saturday. And you know, I work 7 days a week. So for me to come in on Saturday, Sunday is like, no big deal. It's another day for me to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said to people before, and I, you know, you've heard me say this, this, like my music and like everything else I do, is a spiritual calling for me. It's a existential unfolding of the me that's me. And I think this business is that for you. I think it is part of the you that you, the inner you that you. So yeah, you make money at doing it, but the bigger issue for you is you get a lot of personal satisfaction because you see all the good that you do in people's lives and the benefits. And, you know, you just told me out the thousands of dollars you're saving people. You know, that's not money in your pocket, but that's, if you will, spiritual currency in your soul, for lack of a better term, that you get off on, you know, just like I get off on the stuff that I, songs that I write and the workouts that I do and the cooking that I do and the shows that I do that I'm not getting paid for and I'm not making money off of. And I, because I think people need to be educated. I want to share the knowledge that I have that you think everybody should know, but they don't. It's not common sense. Otherwise, I'd be out of a job. You know, I mean, seriously.
Well, yours not so much. But once you hear this and you think, well, that is easy.
It's easy, but if nobody tells you, you don't know it exists, you don't know it's easy.
That's right. That is true.
You know, it's like cooking. Cooking is not a hard skill to pick up. It's really not. Mm-hmm. But you got to know some basic stuff to go in and somebody's going to show it to you.
I guess anything's easy when you know how.
Unless you're an idiot and one mechanics like me. But that's why you have people like Seth to do this for you. Anyway, so, you know, yeah. For you, the journey started out sort of as a blind ad and has turned into a lifelong passion for you.
A real career.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's what made everything else possible. What else, what other business could I have been in that gave me the free time to be able to come and go and do the music as we needed? Like when we do radio tours for a month at a time.
Right.
And I'd come back and, yeah, I had to retrain myself, but you could leave and the staff could run it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they can call you doing, hey, what's your advice about this? But sure. You didn't have to be there doing it every day, like making widgets and a Ford motor plant or whatever.
Exactly. Right. You know, and we started the real estate company because we saw this coming a few years ago. Nora, my wife, she was freaking out, but... You know, we built a real estate business thanks in full to the fact that we've been able to have such a wonderful life in the insurance business to create what we did there. It was what allowed me to start a new business. I couldn't have done it without that.
So in a sense, this has sort of been the anchor for everything else that you've done.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So if people, for whatever reason, if people can't find what they need, if they can't, you know, muddle through all the stuff, or they don't, they live in some, you know, area where they don't have an agent.
I've been to that house.
right. Yeah, you have mine. You know.
Oh, yeah. Not hardly.
Is it plausible, or is it okay if they were to call you and get some advice or get some names from you or get, hey, you know, Mr. S, do you know, I live in Oklahoma or I live in Alaska, and do you know anybody, how do I find an agent in Alaska, or do you have anybody you know? I mean, is it okay if they call you?
They can. In those particular cases, I will say, since we aren't contracting all over the state, I didn't even renew license in most states. We're probably in five now, honestly. Right. I hate to admit, but they...
But you could do a referral to somebody you think is rational, reasonable, ethical, whatever.
We probably could, because we had contacts with agencies all across the country. But I still say if they go to the .gov...
Okay.
.gov. I'm sorry, I get that on the brain. The insurance department.
Right.
Okay, in their state.
Right.
So if it's Oklahoma Department of Insurance, and then they'll see there's an agent roster, and they can pull up any agent in there they can find out who they're licensed with. And if they've got a long list and then it shows the dates of license, you're going to get a real good indication of whether that's where you want to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they want to call you for whatever reason, why don't you provide people with a phone number so that if they want to get in touch with you or a website or whatever, whatever works for you, because I'm sure that you get a shoot load of emails and phone calls every day, you know, especially since all this junk has happened, probably hundreds.
I have 13,000 on my email right now.
13,000 emails?
13,000 emails.
Okay, so
I thought I was sharing that with you the other day.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so how do you keep track of all that?
Well, I've been actually sending them now to Nancy's. She's trying to take some of the load off.
Delegating responsibility. Yeah.
Thank goodness for Nancy. So, yeah, they can go to nancy@sepulvedainsurance.com.
Spell that.
Nancy at S as in Sam, E, P as in Paul, U, L, V as in Victory, E, D as in Don, A.
Okay.
Insurance.com.
So and nancy@sepulvedainsurance.com.
Correct.
Okay.
And our 800 number is 779-1995. And I would only ask that you let whoever answers the phone know that you're a friend of Stephen Mathis so that we can give you priority care. Otherwise...
Or that you heard the podcast.
Or you heard the podcast, right? Because otherwise what will happen is somebody will take that call and it'll just be handed off to some agent somewhere and they won't have a clue.
Okay. Say the number one more time, a little slower for folks.
800-779-1995. That'll work from anywhere in the country.
Okay, and that's a toll-free number.
Toll-free number.
Okay. So they can call and say, hey, I heard you have the podcast. I want more information. Or, hey, I know Stephen Mathis, that weirdo that does the podcast, and I want more information. So any of that stuff and somebody that'll get to the right person so they won't just be trashed as junk mail. Hey, I'm selling you a used washer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some states we would be good in. You know, in Ohio, in Virginia, in Illinois, we're right. Really good. I mean, there's just... Different states we would be okay.
But at the least, they could say, hey, I got this gentleman or this woman that's doing Chuck E. Farley Insurance and Die. What do you know about this? Or what do you know about the insurance? Or is it, what can you tell me about this, that, and the other? And you can give them a 2-minute quickie on the phone.
But if they will email Nancy also, that'll help because we're doing those into the wee hours of the night, wake up in the morning, and that's what we're doing. So if there's a question, hey, I heard about this company, you know. It's easy to check them out. You know, we could get back with an answer if anything we know, or if we don't know, we may have to just tell you we're not familiar with it.
You know? Well, and you know, I do the same thing with people. And it's like I tell people that do court testimony. You know, if they ask you a question, don't fake it. Just tell them, I have no flipping clue, or I'm sorry, I can't answer that. I don't know, or I don't have enough information, or whatever. Yeah, honesty is always the best policy in these situations.
Exactly.
Right. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you think is important for our readers or listeners, to hear that they need to know about this thing? Now, the takeaway points are they need to not go to the government website unless they want their information to every Tom, Dick, and Harriet on the planet, including the IRS and including identity thieves potentially, right? Two, you want them to act by the very latest by the end of this month, otherwise they're SOL.
The 29th is like a drop dead because then the 30th you got 31st is New Year's Eve. 29th and 30th is pushing the luck. But companies are pushing policies through right now, Steven, so quick for us, 2 days I'm getting them issued.
Okay, so the turnaround is really quick.
Yeah, as long as we get an application. Now, not every company is this way, so your agent's got to know who to go to.
Right.
We have some companies that are cutting us off on the 27th, but I have several that are giving us till the 31st. They're extending it this year.
So the good news, the safer rule of thumb is act by Christmas, let's say, about
definitely.
The 25th or the 27th. Very latest.
Good point. Because then you have time to go online, fill out your application, click it in so that it has been submitted in time.
To the insurance company.
To an insurance company, yeah. Now, last but not least, that's a great point you brought up. The only reason, if this will make your lives easier, think of it this way. The only reason you should even want to consider going to the .gov website is if your income is low and you qualify for subsidy. There is no other reason. Even then, a good broker or agent can do that for you, bypass the site by going straight to the company site. You still have to qualify to get the tax dollars, but it's a much better route.
Yeah, because your stuff's not out there in cyberspace for everybody to steal, see, whatever.
Yeah. Now, the companies will be forwarding some of that on the information as far as finances. So at that point, if they're going for subsidies, the government will have a lot of it.
Yeah, but what's not happening is identity thieves out there stealing stuff or planning or pretending to be you to get government money or whatever. It's not floating around in cyberspace.
In all honesty, that's what we don't know. From what we're understanding, anytime they go in for subsidy money, it winds up in exactly the same place.
And all of these are unsecured websites?
Yes.
That's like me doing, a lot of you guys and gals who've heard my podcast know that I do long distance counseling through a secure server called WebEx, and I don't do, what's that thing that everybody uses, like FaceTime, or what's the other one that everybody uses?
The Facebook thing?
No, what's the thing Yeah, you know.
Grief, I know the companies do it all the time, and I can't think
of anything. Yeah, I can't think of the name of it, but, you know.
Skype,
right. I don't do Skype or any of that stuff because none of those are secure. They're not compliant with HIPAA, which is, the insurance people. So your stuff is floating out there. So somebody could hack in while I'm doing a counseling session on Skype and go, oh, my God, that's my sister's cousin's boyfriend who's having sex with, raccoons. Oh, my God, who knew, And so I have this Cisco WebEx, EX, which is a HIPAA-compliant secured website. So I can do long-distance video audio therapy with people, and nobody can hack into that shit. That's completely compliant with all the insurance stuff, the highest security, and nobody's hacking into that crap. Right. So, nobody's going to hear that, that you did a trip to Puerto Vallarta with all the, constituents money that you got for your gubernatorial race, So the same thing with this. You don't want people out there on unsecured websites with personal information any more than you want people listening to what you're saying to people like me. It's supposed to be confidential. Mm-hmm.
And, I'd say last but not least, if you have a lot of pre-existing conditions, you may not have a choice other than to go to a January 1 effective date when all the pre-existing goes away. So, at that point you will be paying more money, but it very well likely could be the only option.
And but you won't know that, do you not, somebody?
You don't know that for sure. But, if it's, diabetics and cancer patients, things like that, those are, pretty much a strict.
Things that are going to be, for lack of a better term, chronic long-term conditions.
You got it. That is exactly right. So just know you'd have to do that. But, again, you can do that through an agent. And the last thing I forgot to mention to you, when you go on the website, if you do still decide to go that way, be very careful. What you will see is your premiums, but look down on the right bottom right-hand corner. You will see that there are fees and taxes associated with signing up on the website. Those we have seen, they will equate out anywhere from $150 to $200 per year extra per person just for going on the .gov website. And that's how they say that they're using those funds to pay their navigators and the fees for setting this website up. And I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I know. Who knows what the heck's where that money's going? It may well be going for that, but it may well be going for, Puerto Vallarta trips or whatever.
Fixing some mosque in Afghanistan or something, for as far as we know.
Yeah. Okay, well, Don, thank you so much for coming in. One more time, would you please give the 800 number and the email in case they want to contact you?
Yes, 800-779-1995. And Nancy's email is nancy@sepulvedainsurance.com. Should I spell it again?
No, I think they can. Okay.
And if you want to send one to me personally, it's just don@sepulvedainsurance.com.
Right, but Nancy's your go-to gal, and I've talked to Nancy many times. She's really, really effective.
She knows she's great. She's a licensed agent. She's been with me 25 years. All of it.
Okay. Don, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. I'm sorry to ask you to come here to do this, but I'm really appreciative that you did it. I know people who listen to this are going to be real appreciative. So my parting words to my listeners are, let the buyer beware and get off your complacency and do it now. Don't sit around, fiddle fart around and go, oh no, I'm too busy Christmas shopping. Consider this to be part of your Christmas gift to yourself. Get this thing done before somebody else has to do it for you and before you don't have any options,
It's thousands for a family.
Oh, I'm
minimum of hundreds on an individual, sometimes thousands.
Well, I'm hearing that. Well, you and I talked about a quote last week about me, and it was like almost double after the effective day for me, who is a healthy guy, works out and does all this crap, and doesn't smoke and doesn't drink and all this kind of junk.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Don.
Thank you, listeners. Doctor.
Thanks a lot. And I'm going to be signing off now. I'm going to be giving you another podcast pretty soon. And we had somebody submit the topic of, is mental health a choice? And I'm going to be talking about that next time. So thanks a lot. Have a good one. And remember, always take your power into your own hands. Do not give it away and don't let somebody else get it for you. Bye-bye. Thanks.